Boys in the Huddle Podcast. It's Ricky, Trey, and Gold. We're back for another episode. And we got some special guests. This NIL transporter thing has really been something to see. Changing the landscape of college sports. So we brought in the folks who are in the weeds day to day and live this life to tell us what is really going on. So we got Coach Buzz. Coach Buzz, give a quick introduction of yourself.
Well, I'm a former Potter on the pod, so I appreciate you bringing me back.
Back in the fold.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Buzzy Carruthers. I've been coaching for 18 years. Basketball, every level you can get to, except for pro. That's next. But
let's talk about it. And you were at Nebraska, Missouri State. And now you're at Texas Camacho Chavez Valley in Texas.
I'm at University Texas Rio Grande Valley. Yes.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yes. Southland Conference.
All right. We're going to take it this year.
We are. That's the plan.
Well, thank you for joining. Then we got a really special guest, Mr. Marcus Bowman, one of the deputy athletic directors and CFO at the University of Oklahoma Athletics. Did I get it right this time, fam?
You got it right this time, fam. I'm impressed. You got it right this time.
Awesome.
You had to work on that.
I had to think of it, but you said it right before we started. You said one of the deputies. So I said, okay, now I was going to say senior associate, but luckily you got that one in. So we appreciate y'all brothers hopping on this one because we really want to know, and the listeners want to know, I want to know, how did we get here? This stuff is a mess to me. I'm confused, and as a consumer, to me, the product is watered down. It's hard to follow. I'm not as invested as I used to be. So how did we get to this spot today? Like, fam, you played at Pittsburgh. What were the rules back then? You couldn't get a job, and you had to starve yourself, and nobody cared about you back then, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it was definitely a lot different back then than they are now. The biggest difference is directly that, you know, young athletes now being able to make money off of their quote unquote name, image, and likeness.
Well, that's not actually what's going on. So we'll get to the NIL
part.
We'll get into all of that.
And then as it relates to, like, if you're talking specifically about the transfer portal, so the rules used to be, and really up until very, very recently, you know, if you transfer, there were some sports where you can transfer and be immediately eligible. But most sports, if you transfer, you had to sit out a year.
Right.
And then a couple years ago, that changed where they instituted the transfer portal, where essentially everybody got one freebie, you know, one free transfer.
And was that because of COVID? Was that spawned out of COVID, or that was already in place?
Nah, it was actually already in place before COVID. So it was actually something they put in place right before COVID, which I think generally everybody thought was a good rule, right? I mean, you know, you should be allowed to be able to transfer once, and you know, this country is all about freedom of movement, and mm-hmm. you should be able to transfer once and be able to play right away. And then essentially, as we've gotten into specifically this last year, and I know we can get into this too, but there's been a lot of lawsuits, and different states have filed different lawsuits against not only the NCAA, but institutions in certain jurisdictions. And so essentially it opened up to basically all just, you know, complete free agency, and, you know, you can transfer as many times as you want.
So let me stop you there. So progress. I thought I read that there was a lawsuit that now allowed for more than one transfer. But now is it essentially you can do it as many times as you want? Because I know a kid, Zion Harmon, who when I was coaching, the kids would fawn over him. Like, how are you supposed to beat this guy and you in love with him? But he's now been at his fourth school. So I know what I was like, well, this is saying you can only do it once. Then they're saying, well, the lawsuit made it twice. But I'm seeing kids do it three or four times. So now it's just anything goes, is what you're saying.
Yeah, there's no limits.
Oh, I mean, God.
Yeah, you can transfer as many times as you want and be immediately eligible. Now you have to, you know, you have to meet certain benchmarks and academic standards, presumably. You know, but yes, you can transfer. I mean, there's kids going into this year that's at their third, and in some cases, I think even fourth school.
It's disgusting. I sent y'all some clips about how hard it is for some of these coaches out here. And Buzz, you being a coach, especially at a mid-major, I know you were at Missouri State last year. How is that from a coaching standpoint, having to deal with knowing more than likely a certain percentage of these kids are going to be out of here?
You know, it's just part of adapting. You know, obviously, you know, some coaches, you know, dislike it. Other coaches, you know, I think they understand that, you know, that they can leave, that the kid can leave if he wants to.
But I would imagine that's difficult. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So for me, it's about, you know, basically you have to re-recruit your guys, you know, and you got to recruit them during the season, which makes it hard to even think about the other guys you're recruiting, because you don't know who's going to leave. You know, guys are getting great NIL deals and they're still leaving, and guys are, you know, winning player of the year in the conferences and they're still leaving, and they're leaving for more, you know, NIL. So it's difficult, but you know, you just have to, like as a coach, I try not to, you know, complain about it, right, and just try to, yeah, I mean, it's just part of the game.
The world you live in, I guess.
Yeah. And so, you know, the portal's crazy, obviously. But, you know, the portal can change some teams, whole year, the coming up year, if you get the right fit of guys. You know, because that's what it's about. It's about fit. Like, and it's hard, man. It's not like it used to be back in the day where, you know, guys would stay at a school for 3, 4 years if they had a red shirt.
The golden years.
Yeah.
The golden era.
It's not like that anymore. So now, more so now, you're trying to put together a team that can win, you know, like within a year, you know. It's
terrible.
It's just what it is.
But let me ask you guys this: Do y'all like know that a lot of the consumers are losing interest because of this, or it doesn't matter because the money is there through either the gambling platforms, through the boosters, and I guess now it's a business to where it doesn't matter that the actual game is suffering. Is what I gather.
Yeah, well, you know, it always matters, that's for sure. I would say that there's probably some misconceptions on how much interest is being actually lost. You know, like ratings in college football were up at an all-time high. The NCAA basketball tournament ratings were up year over year, and some of the best ratings that they had in quite some time. I think the general thing that I think we all kind of know is that, you know, nobody really loves the system that we have going right now. Most notably because there just aren't a lot of guardrails.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that people aren't paying attention or people aren't watching.
Well, let me take that back. I'm mostly talking about men's college basketball. So let me take that back. Football still thrives, but we can see the difference in what the women's game was able to do these past couple of years, surpassing the men. And I think a lot of that is because they have the storylines that people can follow. That's what gets people invested. The men's, you don't know who's who and what's what and how they ended up there. And I think that's driving some people away. I know it is for me. Like, I don't even really get excited about March Madness anymore, unless it's the girls. My girl Dawn Staley, you know?
Well, I think to your eye, which you're more of a, you're more of a, you have way more knowledge, but I think to the common fan, I mean, they just want to go to see, you know, KU versus K-State, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that it's taking a hit the ratings are the ratings, but I don't think the consumer, the common consumer really even cares. I think they're more interested in, you know, rivalries, and I mean, they just want to go and see a basketball game. And like you said, it's helped the women's game. It's helped the women's game.
Because the women's game, and now the women's game is about to get into it too. It's already happening. The girl from UCLA is going to USC now, I believe. Oregon State, another girl. They're all teaming up in this one big AAU circuit now. So soon enough, the women, to me, how I view this, is going to turn into the men, and there's going to be some interest lost there before they could even really get going. Like, they still got some rivalries they can pull on Paige and Juju down. That's going to be the storyline for the next couple of years. So that's probably going to be, you know, the storyline that the NCAA women's try to ride. But I think they're getting ahead of themselves. I think that they're really starting to behave like the men and maybe don't realize why they got the interest. Is there any, do you guys see where I'm going with that? Do you guys feel that the women's actually got the viewership because the viewers, the consumer, got to grow with them, got to know them? Or is that just how I'm viewing this?
No, I think, I think you're viewing it correctly. I mean, you know, there was some incredible storylines in the women's game this year. I mean, you had a transformational player, you know, one, really a once in a generation type of talent, which drew interest to being able to watch some of the other incredible players in the women's game. And then you had, you know, a really, really great team that was going for another championship. And so, no, I do think that viewers getting to know those girls was what sparked a lot of interest. And I do think that in some ways that has been one of the things that's maybe hurt the men's game. But you guys also remember, I mean, in men's college basketball, you know, whether it's one and dones, whether it's, you know, even right. transfers before,
right.
the best players usually aren't there for a long time. So back to right. one of Buzz's points earlier, like generally from a college standpoint, usually the affinity is towards a team or a coach, right? I mean, you think about, you know, coaches that have done it for a long time, Coach K, Boeheim, you know, Roy Williams, Jay Wright, you know, so it's usually like in college basketball, college sports in general, usually the affinity is more towards a team, you know, or right. a coach. And so right. there's a lot of little differences.
I mean, just yeah. me personally, I loved knowing that it was going to be UConn versus Georgetown. It was AI and Ray Allen. I wasn't right. really watching it for UConn versus Georgetown. I was watching it because it's AI and Ray Allen about to go at it. You know what I mean? I mean, that was just me.
All right. With that said, though, I mean, this year, Duke, North Carolina, are you going to watch it?
No. I don't know who's playing, so I'm not I'm watching it. No, I'm not.
Next year you're watching it though, because your boy Cooper Flagg gonna be on there. You watching it?
Well, the rumor has it, old Cooper Flagg might be going to UConn. I heard he might decommit and go to UConn, which would make some sense. But you're right. Yeah, if Cooper Flagg is there and North Carolina is decent, I might tune into that. But again, you made my point. It's not because of his North Carolina versus Duke. It's because of the player Cooper Flagg that I have some interest in seeing if he's the real deal. So
right, but there's also a buildup in college for some of these players. Like some of these guys, you know, and you know, often you might not even get that buildup till the tournament, you know, and you might not know somebody, but when that tournament comes and there's a Cinderella, that's when that's the best time. Like, I mean, you're playing for March,
right.
so you know, throughout the year. On your big Mondays, on your you know, Saturday afternoon game days, you know, you're going to get those rivalry games and everybody's going to tune into those. And as the season goes on, they'll get the build up.
I disagree. At least in basketball. I think the men's, because there's so much money involved now, maybe it doesn't matter. Like you say, family, I think you said it's about engagement more so now. They're getting the money from all these corporations and then the gambling platforms.
They get a bulk of the money from TV.
TV does a lot of money. Right. So,
yeah,
you know, the money is going to be there to where I don't think they really care. Once there's so much money involved, it loses its, you know, essence. And the purity of the game suffers. That's why I think people were gravitating towards the women, because the game was still so pure. And I think they're going to end up ripping the joy out of that soon enough, too. I mean, even seeing what Gino Auriemma was saying recently. Like, if you want to kill it, then just kill it now. Because that's what y'all are going to start to do. That's where we're headed. And I think the women, they're just getting a little bit too ahead of themselves. But, fam, talk about the kids that don't get picked up. Isn't there a certain percentage that enter the transfer portal and then they don't get picked up, then they don't have a scholarship. Then they're out there working at McDonald's and DoorDash. I mean, there's some horror stories to this stuff too, isn't it?
Oh no, yeah. I mean, for every, for a lot of the successes, you know, unfortunately, there's other stories, and yeah, I mean, what unfortunately is, you usually see more individuals in the transfer portal than there's actually spots available.
Exactly.
Right? So that eventually means that somebody's not going to land somewhere, right. Or certainly you may not land at the level that you expected to land at, or you know, and so you know, you're seeing you know, people have to make other decisions. But yeah, I mean, I can't remember the stat, but in college basketball, I know, you know, within the, what is it, 45 days, is that the transfer portal window, Buzz, or something around there, for 30 or 45 days, there was,
I mean, you would know better than me.
Yeah, so there was like yeah, I think it's 45 days. At one point, somewhere between.
Yeah, it's 13 to 1500. March ends in May.
It was like over 1500 kids in the portal.
There's 2000. There's 2000. There's 2000 D1. There's 1000 plus
D2. There you go.
So there's 3000 kids in the portal.
And how many of those, like percentage wise, actually land the spot? Well, or maybe how many?
So we're,
still
recruiting right now. You know, we're still recruiting right now. We've got 3 spots to fill. And you know, some of the, you know, obviously, you know, all those guys don't need to be transferring.
Right. They don't. But, is it just like the cool thing to do now or something? Like, it's overkill.
But now, well, there's money involved now.
I get that, and that's what so are y'all giving these kids money, Buzz? Y'all got money at Texas Camacho State?
So NIL, yeah. So there's NIL, yes. There's NIL collective, Texas Rio Grande Valley. but yeah, so there's NIL, you know, collective. There's, you know, there's even, they're now starting to have these, you know, individual games that are NIL games, or in multi-team events that are NIL events, where you come to that event and you receive, you know, money for your NIL collective. And that's where, you know, a lot of this come from, because, you know, hey, if I can go get paid, if I'm a kid, all right, because you know, I'm pro player, you know, I'm pro.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. So hold on, let's wrap up transfer portal and then really dig into NIL, because I see we're really about to go there.
So the transfer portal, well, my bad, I did get off subject, but you know, for the portal, those guys, they're getting bad advice, and you know, a lot of those players aren't playing for a reason, and a lot of them don't like to look in the mirror when that's happening right there.
Right.
So that's where your kids do end up, you know, either not getting picked back up, having to go back and suck it up to the wherever they're from, if their spot hasn't been filled, or they might even have to drop a level or have to go JUCO, NAIA. So that's where, you know, that's where
a life can be ruined.
But no. Yes. See, here's the thing.
That's where a life can be ruined.
No, here's the thing, bro. Listen, if you're these, you know, we talk about basketball, you know, basketball is a tool. And that's where a lot of these kids don't understand that it's a tool to get you through something right now. If you're out here and you're going to, you're just entering a transporter for whatever reason, and you end up at whatever school, D2, NAI, that's for a reason. That's a lesson learned. That
right.
is life.
Right.
But that is life.
But my issue is, no, but it becomes a trend. So the coach don't like me, so I'm going to go somewhere else. And because everyone else is doing it.
Yeah. No. Hey, it has become a trend, but at the same time, as I said earlier, you know, fit is fit, man. Like, you got to understand, like, and I'm just keeping it real. Like, bro, when coaches are out here recruiting, like, bro, you're recruiting. You know what I'm saying? You're recruiting. Like, that kid doesn't know really what's going to happen as far as, you know, what's being said to him, or how things might shape up as far as the recruiting class or guys coming back. And so there's a lot of people don't understand that there's so many things that can go into these kids entering the transfer portal. You know what I'm saying? It could be getting closer to home. It could be money. It could be, hey, this guy, I'm not good enough. Like, hey, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted, because there are coaches telling guys, hey, get in the transfer portal.
Sometimes the coach is telling you know what I'm saying? To go.
And that's the other part of it that never gets talked about. But, you know, this is the boys in the huddle. And, you know what I mean?
We got to talk about it because
that's, you know, it's not as bad as a lot of these pundits say it is, man. And, you know, I feel like, you know, it's, you know, they're talking about a people that are doing some of these things, man, for totally different reasons. And they just try and focus on one thing, and it's messed up, because at the end of the day, these guys are young men and they're just making choices. Now, if you get left in the portal, or if you don't end up where you're at, hey, dog, that's a lesson. Like, you have to learn a lesson. You have to learn life.
But you said these early, bro, these kids are different. These kids, they don't know how to learn a lesson. But they don't know about accountability.
It is.
They don't, because they grow up being pacified their whole life, getting participation trophies. So now you want them to be able to be men in this moment? It's going to turn out bad. It's not going to work.
It might turn them into a man. It might make them have to look in the mirror and reassess.
They get to that point in their life, that ain't going to turn them into a man. That's going to turn them into more of me against everybody hates me, pointing the finger at everybody else. It's going to make it worse. They're not going to start taking accountability in that moment now, all of a sudden.
I know former players that have made those mistakes, bro, and they're good. Like, they realize what they did. And because at the end of the day, Tito, like,
but we still don't want these kids making these mistakes. There's got to be parameters in place so that they don't make them as well. That's what I'm saying. It can't be just too much of the wild, wild west. There needs to be some more
parameters. There could definitely be some rules to make, you know, guys stay at the school that they're at. There could be. And that's another conversation that I think we're going to get into. But I think that, you know, like I said, I'm pro player. So, you know, like I said, a lot of these things that don't get said, why some of these guys are leaving, you know, it's not just for money. It can be for different reasons, man. And
I get that.
Guys get better. Guys get better, man.
I get that. You know, but there's going to be too many documentaries made. There's going to be some documentaries made about all these kids where it didn't work. And then they're going to look, we're going to look back at that and be like, what were we doing? We didn't even understand how many lives we were really affecting and ruining.
I'm down for making that documentary.
Well, you know the kids, we can get them ready. Find all the kids who didn't make it to another destination, and we'll start filming them now.
Hey, we can get that on Netflix.
Hoop Dreams, Part 2.
Yeah.
Shattered Dreams.
Yeah, no doubt. Yes.
Shattered Dreams. Yeah. But fam, what about that aspect of, is there something maybe coming to put some parameters in place? Maybe these kids have to sign contracts with the university, or is that just out of the realm of possibility?
So I think at this point, I think it's probably the actual transfer rules of kids not being able to or being able to continue to transfer as many times as they want. I think that's here to stay. I don't think that's going to go backwards the other way. there may be some stricter rules around, the requirements at the next institution, which may make it a little bit more challenging. Mm-hmm. At this point, I don't know if we'll actually see where kids won't be able to transfer. So no, I don't think that's actually going to change at this point.
So I'm just stuck with losing the game that I love.
Until there is a change in the NCAA, you're right, Tito. There needs to be contracts it's easy for football because you can't, you have to be in school for 3 years.
Right.
You're there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But in the same sense, you know, there has to be a huge change. It has to be a major shift in the paradigm of, you know, quote unquote, amateur basketball and football. But that would be the only way you could lock it in.
Right. Well, one question that I do have,
because hey, don't forget the football do too. Football, they be in that portal now too. That portal's even crazier.
Yeah, I get that, but they got helmets on. Nobody knows who they are anyway, so people don't really care. But and I'll have to apologize to the listeners. These people are out here with the air conditioning on at 70 degrees at night. But you're going to hear the blowing in the background, and I've already screamed on some people in the past. I can't do it anymore. But 70 degrees, why do you have the air on? Open up a damn window. But one question I have, fam, and Buzz, you may know as well, we can segue more into the NIL stuff. So if a kid leaves a school or enters the transfer portal, and now we know there's a bag at the end of that rainbow, can the school offer him money to stay, or do they re-up him each year in order to stay? Or is it a matter of, well, I'm going to enter the transfer portal because this next school is going to give me $1 million. Or say a kid is at North Carolina, he's thinking about entering the transfer portal. Would North Carolina then say, hey, we're going to give you $800,000 not to do it, just to stay here? How does that piece of it work?
Well, I mean, go ahead, boys.
Go ahead. You got it. You guys got the big money down there.
First of all, that stuff don't go through the university, so that stuff don't go through third parties and collectives.
Okay.
That stuff goes through the university.
Collectives. That's, collectives. Yeah, keyword.
Yeah, that's number one. Number two, you know, you're not supposed to be talking with other schools or other collectives or being able to see what your NIL value is until you're actually in the transfer portal. So, you know, a lot of, in some ways, that's one of the reasons why a lot of these kids are getting into the portal, so they can see what the actual value is that's out there. And so, you know, and then you're, you know, and so what's happening is schools that happen to, you know, re-recruit their own players, you know, every year. Because, you know, each year you could be in a situation where you can lose any number of the guys on your team. And it might not necessarily be because they're having a bad experience. It might not necessarily be because they don't like it at that place. You might be in a situation where they're trying to see what the options are and what's out there.
Right, right. Yeah, so how many kids end up going, is it pretty common where a kid will go back? And if they do go back, is the school then giving them that bag? Or not the school, the collective, or is that, do they then say, here's that money to stay here? Or if they stay there, then there is no money?
It depends. I mean, I think it could vary. You know, it depends on your coach, what the coach thinks. What it depends on, you know, I do know there's instances out there where, you know, a player does enter the portal, and, you know, he does end up going back to that same university because his NIL, was, you know, a school that was recruiting him, you know, had a certain NIL collective number, and, you know, the school was able to say, hey, we can do an NIL deal just like that. And, you know, like, you know, going back to what I said, yeah. And it's just re-recruiting, you know, but it goes back to what you were saying about, just being able to have, you know, a contract, something where, you know, you don't have to deal with, you know,
You don't have to deal with it every year. You can't have this be an every year thing, in my opinion.
Right.
I just don't think that's sustainable. And I just feel like it's just bad for the product.
Right.
But ultimately, that brings me to NIL. Because this is the part I think a lot of people get confused about. Even I'm still confused. NIL, at its essence, is supposed to be name, image, and likeness. And I recently saw Deion Sanders talking about this. He said, everybody's talking NIL. You might have a handful of kids actually getting paid off of name, image, and likeness. The rest of this is this collective stuff. What is a collective? How does that work? And where did that come from out of NIL? Because that's what I don't understand. This was supposed to be, if Gatorade wants to give you an endorsement and use your name, image, and likeness, then you should be able to make money off of that. Fine. Makes perfect sense. That's what this all started over. So what loophole opened to allow for, hey, we got $400,000 for you if you come over here to Auburn. And it has nothing to do with Gatorade or Nike saying we need to use your name, image, and likeness. That's the part I'm confused about. Extremely confused about. When did that
come? It doesn't have to be Gatorade. It's you're thinking big, huge scale. You know, Gatorade, Nike. But you got to think small scale as well.
That, it could be. And I'm just saying, a brand wants to use your name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, that's how you get paid.
But that's not what is going on. How did we get to this collective thing?
Well, the collective is just a collective of, you know, people that donate, you know, to the NIL, to the collective, and that collective.
But what rule serves to allow
serves
this?
As no, well, like all I know is what I've experienced. Our collective had our guys go out into the community and do you know services or appearances. And that's how they were able to earn their name, image, and likeness collective money. So that's why I was saying, you know, small scale. But you know, I don't know. I'm just talking off of my experience. But that's how our guys, you know, use their name, image, and likeness. They would go do appearances around the city.
On behalf of the collective.
Yes. Right, so let me I can jump in. So,
yeah, you know more. Yeah, you know more.
So
yeah.
at is the intent of name, image, and likeness was exactly what you mentioned, fam. It was the intent was for athletes, most notably athletes that have a high market value, to be able to earn money off of their name, image, and likeness, right? So whether you want to go back to the days of Tim Tebow in football, or you want to even go back to the days of like a Zion Williamson in basketball,
right?
Those guys had such really, really high market value that if Johnny Manziel, so if big or small, XYZ company wanted to have them do a commercial, they wanted to have them you know, come to a store, whatever the case may be, you should be able to do that. Well, it was also, you know, was intended to do was, you know, you'd be able to make money off of that. So whether or not, you know, you wanted to do some camps, like a football clinic or camp, because you have a certain brand and a certain value that people will pay for you to teach them football, then you should have the ability to do that. So this what really, if you go back to, you know, and I don't know how much you know about this, but the Ed O'Bannon case, you know, Ed O'Bannon was the, you know, college basketball.
Right.
That's what started all this, right? It was these college basketball games, football games where, you know, you could turn on and they have the number and they look like you, but they don't use your name. And then athletes was not making money. So really, a lot of this started, and I think generally speaking, most people, even people that work in the industry, have no problem with, you know, those high marketable athletes. Or even if you're not highly marketable, you know, somebody may, you know, may want to pay you a couple dollars to come do a local TV commercial or a local radio spot or whatever, right? Or to do a social media
car
post,
dealership,
right?
Or something like that.
Correct. Yeah. And I think everybody generally was supports that. Now, the problem is it took us so long to get here. What happened was, you know, then people started to find ways around, you know, how they can take the system and create it into something else, which is kind of where the birth of, you know, collectives came. And what collectives are, they're a collection of individuals, or, you know, it could be a few, there could be thousands, where
are they,
you know,
essentially
money goes,
boosters, or they can be
boosters? No,
it doesn't have to be boosters. Yeah, they can be whoever. This is sort of like, my bad, go ahead.
I was just saying, they're not necessarily like boosters of the school, or, you know, boosters that give a lot of money. A lot of collectives, they actually thrive on, you know, they have subscriptions or things that are memberships where people can pay a certain amount of money a month or annually. But really what these collectives do now, the collectives, they go out and they buy the rights of these athletes. So they sign them to a contract, and as a part of that contract, you know, they're required to do X amount of, you know, appearances or social posts. And then it's up to the collective to then go out and, you know, monetize that. So now they're going to go work with company XYZ and say, hey, we still, you know, have the rights to this player or that player. And, you know, we want them to come by and do this appearance or sign, you know, autographs. And so there's still an NIL component to it. I think, you know, what's really changed is kind of the market value of some of this. It's just now,
right,
for the most part, you know, just, you know, greatly, greatly skewed.
Are there any all black collectives out there?
Well, I mean, you know, this kind of alludes to the conversation we had the other day, Tito, where, you know, there should be an all black collective at some of these HBCUs, and they should be getting it.
I feel like HBCUs, like we were saying in that conversation, these PWIs are operating like Fortune 500 businesses.
Yes,
the HBCUs aren't even scratching the surface. They're a mom and pop shop and don't even know that a lot of this stuff is even going on.
Man, I mean.
And then the president
the
going to take all the money.
Really, they could really.
President going to rape all the money if they did get a collective. So HBCUs are all messed up. I mean, they're just all messed up. We want kids to maybe think about going to HBCU, but honestly, I work with a lot of them, and they are so messed up. It's sad to say. And you know, I'm all about being pro-black and supporting our home, but the infrastructure.
We love our HBCUs.
Infrastructure is not there. The Tennessee State, we still had to fire their whole board because they were all corrupt. I mean, this is public information. This is going on everywhere.
But at the same time, going back to the sports, there should be these HBCUs who have had, you know, the very successful people that have come from these HBCUs should have collectives, and they should support the athletics if they want, you know, success for their, you know, their school. And
you would think
if they want to be part of something, like, you know. But it's crazy, you know, it's crazy that there's not.
So is who is educating these kids? Because it sounds like there's
a lot of these kids are being, you know, represented by agents, and
so they're stealing the money.
Some of the agents have actual, you know, agent experience. A lot of them don't, and you know where there's money involved, you know, there will
be
people that are being involved to try to influence people, influence their decisions. Yeah. And sometimes that influence can not always be positive, if I'm putting it nicely. So
that's my fear, though.
Yeah.
That's my
fear. Yeah. No, for sure.
This money should be put in a trust. This money should be put in a trust to a certain age.
No doubt.
No doubt. I agree with that. Yeah, I think the agents need to be, agents and families need to be thinking more, how you're making these financial decisions to set,
yes,
you know, long these term. People up for long term, you know, not necessarily just quick gratification.
Right, but they know these families, many of them, I don't want to say many of them, but there's this percentage of them that come from dire situations where they don't have the financial literacy and they're not educated and they're preying on that stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And they are. They certainly are. And, you know, it's crazy because these guys, like, they don't even need agents. Like, they don't need them. Like, the money is there. The NIL money is there. Like, you don't need an agent going in there negotiating for you. But it goes back to, there's not some of the people around these kids aren't in it for the right reason. And they don't have the knowledge of what's going on.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they're all working together, Buzz. Like, it may be just like, you know, you go to court, not that I've ever been, but you go to court and typically the prosecutor knows the defense attorney, which is cutting the deal because they work together every day. So it's a lot of it's probably no different. Like, they ain't going to even let one kid like Lamar Jackson try to get his deal without an agent. You remember they were trying to stall him out.
Oh, no, they were trying to stall him out.
So they're going to try to do the same thing to these kids in a different way. You know what I mean? So, as I'm saying, they're all working together. This good old boys club. And that's why I asked earlier, is there an all-black collective?
It's the good old boys club.
You know what I mean? There should be a Jay-Z, Robert Smith, and say Diddy, but he's out.
Whoa.
But you know what I mean. There should be a collective where there's some powerful, influential black people that are involved in this. No, but even they probably would do the kids wrong. I mean, you know how the record industry was for years, raping you records. So I can't even really say that. But
NIL and collectives to the industry.
I'm making a correlation because I would say a black collective is going to protect the kids, but I can't necessarily say that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I think anytime when money is involved, you're gonna have you're gonna have some good people that's gonna try to do things that's gonna be in the best interest of their client or whoever they're representing, and there's gonna be other people that's gonna have ulterior motives and only gonna be doing what's in their best interest. Anytime you got money involved,
it's hard for me to adjust. Maybe it's me. I'm old now. I don't like it. I don't think
you
I ever
old.
Will.
you're definitely old.
You didn't have to confirm. We know. You just entered the club too, so relax. I was there. But I don't like it. I don't like it. And I was liking the girls, and now they're about to mess it all up.
But Tito, I think it goes back to Tito, you know, having to have, you know, it just needs to be a better run business, man. Like, you know, it's a business, and it just needs to be better run and treated like a real business.
And I keep saying these kids better get it while the getting is good. You know, a friend of mine who's also my barber, his son is Aiden Holloway. He just went to Alabama. I'm sure he got a bag. I don't ask, but it ain't none of my business, but I'm sure he did. And I'm like, yo, I guess get it while the getting's good. If I was a kid and I knew entering the transfer portal might get me another $1 million, I'm going to do it too. I'm going to do it too.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, you're seeing families that are making those type of decisions, and you can't blame
them.
You know, a lot of families, you know, these are coming, you know, some of these kids are coming from families that are well off. You know, they have, the parents are very in tune to what's going on, and you can't blame them. If they can make a business decision where their son or daughter can make more money in the next couple of years than they might make in the first 10 years of their life or 15 years of their life, I mean, why wouldn't they? You know, if the rules allow it, which they do.
Right.
Why wouldn't they go out and do it?
But that's why I say get it while the getting is good, because I have a feeling at some point there'll be some more regulations involved. I don't see how you can keep operating like this. I mean,
there's some regulations that's coming related to, you know, some caps and try to put some structure around, you know, NIL and payment to athletes and payment to players.
Yeah, it just needs to be better run. It needs to be better run. Like it just needs to be better run.
Well, hopefully they don't ruin the women's game. I love my girl Juju. She's her time now. And I love Paige too. But if everybody's just going to join Juju and just leave Paige out there just from some regular recruiting stuff, I ain't heard of nobody joining UConn like I had with
well, UConn's with USC. Already stacked. They're already stacked.
Well, they need to get more sacked, because USC got, they say the girl Kiki, I believe her name is Kiki. Maybe I'm confusing her with, but whoever just joined USC, they say she's going to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft. I'm like, good Lord. I mean, nobody wants to compete? Then you know whose fault this is, right? Y'all know.
Oh, my God. Y'all
know whose fault this is.
Can't have a basketball conversation without it coming back around to me.
Right. Without it coming back gonna say it. To Bron.
I didn't say Bron. You said it. I mean, but I do want to get into that. So let's move on to a quick segment. We're going to have a little fun in this one. It's the Sucker or OG segment. The first one. Recently, the big Aristotle, to Joker's face, told him he didn't think that he deserved to be the MVP. He thought it should have been SGA. Some people had a problem with that, including your man Queen Shannon Sharp. And then Shaq put out a diss track on him, which was quite entertaining to me because I don't like Queen Shannon. But first and foremost, was that a Sucker or OG move by the Diesel to tell the Joker that in his moment of winning his third MVP? Fam, we're going to start with you.
No, I get to go first. For the record, I think SGA should have won too, for the record.
I do too.
I'm never a fan trying to take away from somebody's moment and why wouldn't they get it? So I gotta kinda say, you know, I'm a big fan of Shaq. I love Shaq. I think that was kind of a sucker.
Sucker move, you're stamping it sucker. Buzz, yeah, what do you think?
I agree, man. Like, come on, man. Like, you can't. The dude just got the award, and you're telling him he didn't deserve it. Like,
right. Was he jealous? Was Shaq jealous, you think? Big man?
Yeah, well, you know, anytime MVP comes up, Shaq, you know, he go back into his history, so.
Yeah. And I mean, SGA could have gotten it. The way Brunson's playing, I mean, I feel like he needs it. Like, he didn't have Randle at all for the end of the year. I mean, Randle just stopped playing and put the team on his back. Brunson could have got it. I mean,
there's a few guys that could have got it. But just in history, Joker's going to look like the greatest big man of all time. Three MVPs.
And Shaq may have been jealous of that.
Oh, yeah. Shaq definitely was jealous of that. But I used to try to hate on Joker, and I was about to hate on him again this year. But I gotta stop, because the guy just gets it done.
His footwork, his IQ,
it's unbelievable. I don't get how he gets it done, but he gets it done, and he kind of gets it done in style. Like, his vision, his passing, we haven't really seen anything like it, because the guy is as fast as me. Y'all know I am. I might be one of the slowest black men in history. he's going my speed out there. He's getting it done. But I'm going to say it's a sucker move, too. I'm going to say he redeemed himself with the diss track on Queen Shannon. But it was a sucker move. You don't do that in somebody's moment. That's not the time. Maybe you talk about that afterwards. Like, I guess Shaq felt, well, I'm saying it to his face, so I'm being a man about it. But you don't do that in that moment. So I think it's across the board, it's a sucker move. Get it together, and, Shaq.
I mean the rap was sucking through. Come on now, like Shannon.
Shaw, I haven't even heard the rap.
There wasn't a good diss track, but I like that he did.
It's Shannon Sharp, one of the all-time great tight ends. Shout out to Shannon.
Yeah, he sure is a tight end out there.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, he agreed with us. It was a sucker move, man. He agreed with all of us.
But he didn't have to take it to the next level. He didn't have to take it to all the Shaq didn't work out. It's his fault. He don't have MVP. You ain't got to do all that.
But that stuff that Shaq has said, he said,
I'm going to say all he did was repeat Shaq stuff.
Yeah. Kobe came in and told him, hey, you're lazy.
Rest in peace.
And Shaq has, rest in peace, Kobe. But Shaq has said that. And you're right.
He don't Joker need
might
Shannon
look like the
about.
Best big man we've ever seen.
And I can't get with that. Shaq should have more than one MVP. That's a fact.
I agree with that.
And we kind of know why Joker, they lean towards him. And we know why. Not to say that he doesn't deserve it. Not to say, now I'm convinced he deserved at least two of them. I don't know about this year. You know what I mean? But we're going to move on to the next one. Your king. And Clutch Sports have been forcing this Bronny kid down our throats. Now he's entering the NBA draft, and he's been at the combine. He scored 4 points, and I'm on Instagram, and Bleacher Sports says, Bronny James goes crazy. He had 4 points. I don't get it. But is this a sucker or OG move by your king and Clutch Sports by forcing this kid into the NBA? Because it's going to backfire. And I don't want to blame this kid. But LeBron has put him out here to be criticized and crucified because he does not belong in the NBA. But what this Clutch Sports group is doing, is this a sucker or OG move forcing this kid into the NBA? Or is some sucker taken away from a kid that really deserves the opportunity? Buzz, you start.
Bro. First of all.
Is it sucker or OG? We don't need no long diatribe.
It's an OG move, first of all.
Oh, my God.
OG move. Your father, go. Still in the league. I feel like when I was watching Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. for the Cincinnati.
Yeah, Rams, how about Ken Griffey Jr. was good? That's the difference there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he was the young. Difference. You didn't know what Ken Griffey Jr.
He
you
was.
Didn't
a, know he was a top Jr. prospect. We knew.
Yeah, but you didn't know he was going to be the kid. Okay. So, but listen, Bronny has game. Okay. Bronny can play a role somewhere.
Man,
he's athletic
please.
Enough.
This is disgusting.
He's athletic enough.
4 points. He averaged 4 points at USC.
That's okay. That's fine.
Oh, that's okay.
That's okay.
Find me a kid that was drafted averaging 4 points.
That wasn't a great environment. He had the
heart thing
early in the year. And I think it's an OG move. You know, like, but even though he came out and said, you know, about, you know, he wants to be called Bronny, and, you know, it's not about his dad. Da, da, da.
What else are we going to call him?
I think it would be LeBron's son.
That's his name.
LeBron's son. Everybody refers to him as LeBron's son.
You know, today is the first time I ever heard him talk. I'm like, he sounds like Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell. Like, what the heck is going on here?
Come on, man.
That's what he sounded like.
Come on, man.
I had never heard him speak.
He's athletic. Listen, he's athletic enough. He's athletic enough. His wingspan is six. He's 6'1", and his wingspan is 6'7". Okay, that's big.
He's 6'1", averaging 4 points. He's not even a point guard. What's he gonna play? What position is he? Could y'all think sensibly here and stop it? Can y'all stop?
What do you mean, bro? He can play
at 6'1". What position is he going to play?
Point, combo.
Oh, combo
guard.
This is disgusting. This is crazy. Y'all gotta stop. I guess y'all think that maybe y'all gonna have an opportunity to work with LeBron and Clutch Sports at some point. So y'all don't want to say anything against this.
This whole thing is disgusting.
I don't want to go ahead. What do you think, Marcus? What do you think about this? Is this a sucker OG move by them forcing Bronny into the NBA?
Well, who said that they forced that? They're forcing it because LeBron has always made this about himself.
He never said, I want my son to play in the NBA. I want to push for my son to get an NBA. He said, I want to play with my son. So now it doesn't become about Bronny anymore. It becomes about, oh, if we draft Bronny, then maybe we can get LeBron and increase ticket sales and revenue. He's thinking about himself.
Bro, he said that it's a dream of his to play with his son. Shoot the man for wanting to do something with his kid. You know, that's,
but it doesn't.
You know, God forbid that man wants to do something with his son that could be impactful in his life.
Go to Six Flags. But, you want to do something with your son. What are you talking about? Go to Disney World.
But it's also been very clear that it's the son's decision. He's been very clear that, you know, while that might be something that he wants to do, he can't speak on behalf of his son. And the son got to go out and prove and speak for himself.
Does he really have to go out and prove? He's not having to go out and prove. He averaged 4 points. Yeah, he should go back to college.
There's other guys that entered the draft that don't have eye-popping stats. And
their dad's not LeBron James, and they're not getting drafted.
Well, actually, a lot of guys are actually getting drafted based on potential, though. Like, I mean, how many times have we seen guys even get drafted early on? No, come on, fam. Take the James family out of this for a second.
Right.
And you can't sit here and say that guys don't get drafted based on where they project them to be. Someday, not based on necessarily what they have done.
Those guys are typically 6'10 with a wings.
Not necessarily. Like,
hey, 6'7 wingspan and you're 6'1, that's huge, man. I'm telling you.
You got to be able to play roles in the NBA.
I have never seen the kid even get fired up on the court. Like, I just don't. So you don't think that he's potentially taking away from some other kid that's worked his butt off all his life, whose father isn't LeBron James?
Answer me this. All right, answer this question. Giannis Antetokounmpo's brother, is he taking away?
He's like 6'10". He's like 6'10".
Who cares? Who cares?
You can make an excuse. You can be the last man on the bench. So hold on. So y'all both said, what's wrong with LeBron wanting to play with his son? Do y'all really think he makes a roster if he gets drafted? He's going to be in the G League, ain't he?
Yeah, he might. I mean, who knows what his path will be? He would have to.
I know a guy. I know a kid that's I coached youth in from Kansas City, Jacob Gilliard. He's about 5'8". All right. Hooper, okay, played at Richmond. He's been in the G League, you know, up and down, gets called up every now and then. But, I mean, if he can do it, you know, and he's 5'8", you know, I mean, Bronny can do that.
I apologize for the lack of authenticity to the listeners. They don't want to say what it is. It's okay. I get it.
So I'm stamping it a sucker move.
That's fine.
Sucker.
I don't know. I don't know how it can be considered a sucker move.
Right.
For trying to do something for your client.
Right.
Or trying to do something for your family. Like, I hope that.
Do something for his family. He got money. But he doesn't
know. No, it's not about money. You know what I'm saying? About trying to do something for your family to help them achieve their dream. So I hope one day I don't know how much of it. I don't think this has anything to do with Bronny.
I don't know if this is his dream. This is just always what daddy wanted.
No.
This is always what Daddy wanted. Come on, and man. I think he's going to get ridiculed.
You got another. He's going to get question.
We got one more. We got one more. But another. He's going to get ridiculed. He's going to get booed. He is going to get treated worse than LeBron did when he made all of his sucker moves. But we're going to move on. Last one here. Recently, Caitlin Clark got a Nike deal. Apparently worth about $10 million or so. Maybe $20 million. Can't remember. But then there was this outpouring by the usual suspects of black women, such as Jemele Hill, who always has something to say that doesn't always add up. So she started saying how accomplished Asia Wilson is, and she's a three-time MVP or a champion, defensive player of the year, blah, 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 which led to Nike giving her a signature shoe deal.
That's not true.
Oh.
Oh. That's not true, fam.
You're ruining my segment, but go ahead. What do you mean it's not true?
No, I'm not ruining your segment.
What's the truth? She didn't get a signature shoe?
It's the boys of the huddle. It's the boys of the huddle pod.
She didn't get it.
No, she's getting a line, a shoe, and an actual line. But if you read from Nike, they have been working with Asia Wilson for a long time on her actual shoe design, her line. It was the choice of Asia Wilson to announce it this, you know, last weekend when they played that preseason game in her hometown. Mm-hmm. In Columbia, South Carolina, aka the Metro.
Oh, see now you bias on this, man. That's what's going on.
It's true. It's the truth. It's out there. Nike was the one that put it on the
Nike was working with her all this time.
Yes, go to their website.
And coincidentally,
they got a website that's called Of Course She Has a Shoe.com. It literally said, they have a big statement that says, you think we wouldn't have a three-time player of the year, two-time MVP, defensive player of the year, two-time champion, you know, bestseller, all that stuff. Of course she has a shoe. So ask your girl Dawn Stanley, Philly stand up, right? Ask your girl Dawn Stanley.
North Philly.
They've been working on this with Asia for a while, so.
So how is it that the Caitlin Clark gets announced, and then if this was in the works, Asia Wilson been in the league for what, 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, at least she's been in the league. He's probably about 4 or 5 or somewhere around there. But
so like you're saying I know she probably had a Nike deal.
Yeah, she has. She's had a Nike deal pretty much since she's been in the league. But what Nike said was that the decision of Asia to make the announcement around when she returned to her hometown. So the news just came out this past week. Now, you know, it's not surprising that Nike wanted to get the news out about Caitlin Clark as soon as they could. I mean, they wanted to probably get that out before the WNBA season, the same way, I guess, with Asia. But
your girl Caitlin didn't look so hot last night. They better hope she gets it right, because she's changing their lives. And they better bow down to Caitlin when they see her, because she got them charter flights. She got them dressing sexy to the games. They're going to be back in sweatsuits and they're going to be back in hoodies and jeans soon if she don't get it together. So they better hope Caitlin looked better than she did last night, or all of that going down the drain. But all right, well, I guess you corrected the situation. This is why it's boys in the huddle. You got to trust the huddle. We bringing the people that know. Cam and Mace was on there talking about, is it a pity deal, and they didn't know the facts. That's why you got to come here and trust the damn huddle. But this is one question I will ask. Is there a demand for an Asia Wilson shoe? And we may not know. We're not females. I really feel like if a woman is really going to transcend the game, it's got to be a shoe that even men would buy. I don't know if we're there yet. But based on what y'all know about Asia Wilson, her marketability, You think there's a demand for an Asia Wilson shoe where Nike's going to make money? Or am I tripping?
I do. I think that she'll have a demand for a shoe. Obviously, I think Caitlin Clark will have a demand for a shoe.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think
Caitlin Clark's shoe going to go crazy.
I think that's what's happening in, you know, women's sports and in women's basketball. Like, there's no better time to find out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you know what I mean? I guess they could just write it off if it don't work. Like, all right, it's a write-off.
You know, it's the best time. It's the best time to put it out there. So,
yeah, that's true. I know the Angel Reese shoe recently came out, and I can see a demand for an Angel Reese shoe. I can see that. But when I hear Asia Wilson, I'm like,
I don't know. Hey, she's a typically
I know who's gonna buy
man.
A shoe.
Who?
I got two daughters. They're definitely gonna be rocking the shue.
But I mean,
No.
She's a center, correct?
Yeah, they don't sell shoes.
Yeah, so typically bigs don't sell shoes. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's probably, you know, there's other factors that could come into her shoe getting out there. I mean, like, you know, they get sent to, you know, all the Nike schools, you know what I'm saying, high school, college, for, you know, where they're wearing
might,
it for games and that type
out.
Of
but
marketing
that ain't the
and
same.
Stuff.
Yeah, that ain't the same, though. I want to hear Brooke ask you, Marcus. I want to hear Brooke ask you for the Asia Wilsons, not, oh, we just going to buy them for her. That's a different thing, man.
Yeah. Well, they got to be fly. And maybe they're not basketball shoes. Maybe they're not basketball shoes.
I took it to an Aces game that we used to live in Vegas.
And she's an Asia Wilson, so she got a poster in the room. I didn't see it. I was there. I had the tour.
She don't got the poster in the room, but she definitely knows who she is.
I had the Larry Johnson poster in my room because he was my favorite player. So if I don't see a poster, I mean, you just going to force them shoes on that
That's
girl. And that ain't right.
Rule of thumb.
All right, well, maybe it's not a pity deal like I thought. Maybe there is a demand. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. You know, the 10, 12-year-old girls may be pulling on mommy's skirt to say, we got to go get the Asians. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But that's one thing that WNBA needs. They need some nicknames, like the Air Jordan. And you had, you know, Grandma Ma. You don't have no nicknames for these girls.
Hers is called the A1s.
Yeah, but she's not called the A1s. Like, they have to get their own nicknames. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
That's going to help with the marketing.
What would Caitlin Clark's nickname be? What's Caitlin Clark's nickname?
That's a good one. You can't give her white chocolate. That's already gone.
That's taken by the real white chocolate.
Right, you can't give her that. She they golden goose, I'll tell you that. I don't know if you can give her that one, but
man, yeah.
She ain't golden goose.
She certainly has helped transform the women's game, without question.
It's gonna be interesting her transition. Her transition is gonna be interesting because she looked bad last night. 10 turnovers, I think they said.
10 turnovers.
That's the highest in the WNBA debut. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she'll get it together, though. I think she'll figure it out.
I do. I think she'll be all right. I think she's going to be all right. Yeah.
Shooters.
She's got a skill set, man, that just is unique, man. The girl got deep range. She got handles. Yeah. She can get separation and get her shot off. And she shoots it pretty quick. I think she's going to. I think she's going to be an elite player in that league for a long time.
Yeah.
But they're putting a lot on her shoulders, man.
I think.
They're putting a lot
on
her shoulders.
Well, that's good because, I mean, they need it. And, you know, like, you know, she's going to be able to play for a long time because she just shoots the ball so well. And women typically play a lot longer than the
guys.
She's
from Iowa, bud. Like, she might want to have three babies and work in the cornfields.
Nah,
you never know.
Nah, she loved that rock. She loved putting that rock up into that hoop, man.
We'll see. No, I'm rooting for her. I think they got she's got to not just work. She's got to be what everybody thinks she is. She's got and then some. Like, it can't be, okay, she's a fine player and she's making an all-star every other year. No, she's got to be out there winning multiple championships, just looking dominant year in and year out.
Well, that'll be part of the story. Like, her maturation will be part of the story.
Yeah.
You know, two, three, 4 years from now.
We're going to see. But, fellas, we're going to wrap this thing up. We done drifted off into Caitlin Clark. Appreciate y'all coming on and educating the people a little bit on this whole NIL and transfer portal thing. It's the Wild West. I hope somebody comes and tames it. But this is the world that we live in. So as things evolve and change, we'll bring you back for your updates. I hear there's something coming that you can't talk about, Marcus. So we am not going to say nothing. But there's some stuff coming soon. So either they don't know, don't show, or don't care about what's going on in the huddle. We're going to see y'all next time. Peace.